Some words from the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Jim's just had a knee op this week. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named a highway of holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, but they will be filled with joy and gladness. Christmas is a time of celebration, isn't it? A time of joy for all of us, hopefully. Even this past week, I've had the joy of lunch with friends. I've had the joy of choosing some presents for loved ones. I've had the joy of decorating a Christmas tree. And on Friday night, the very special joy that was the Ect Panto. Some of you are here who were there. It was good. You know, as you think about family and friends that you'll soon be sharing Christmas with, it might be helpful to remember this little dictum. Some people bring joy with them wherever they go, while others bring joy when they go. You just want to note that down. Some people bring joy with them wherever they go, while others bring joy when they go. In 1719, the songwriter Isaac Watts was reflecting on the story of Jesus. And the result was the words of the carol that we're going to sing when I finish, and we know today as Joy to the World. Over 100 years later, the American composer Lowell Mason put them together with a tune based on one of Handel's composition, and the rest, as they say, is history. We've tinkered with it a little bit, I think you'll find today. The carol highlights some reasons for joy, and I just want to help you think about that for a moment. First, the carol speaks about joy to the world because the Lord has come. The God who sometimes seems to us so far from us, so other that we can hardly begin to understand. This God has come to us. God has stepped into our space, our time, as a baby, born in the most unusual circumstances in Bethlehem. We're desperately in need these days of good news, aren't we? Our daily morning and evening, whichever one you take, the dose of economic woe, disaster, destruction, political failure, personal grievance, and emotional damage is so depressing, isn't it? You know the Christmas story. You've heard it before. The angel's message to simple country folk, kept out by the needs of their animals through the night on the hills around Bethlehem. That message is, in fact, the good news that we crave. God has taken the initiative. God has come to us, come to sort out our mess, come to save us from ourselves. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We all need someone to stand up for us. Someone who'll do the things that we can't do. Someone who'll take care of us. We dare not depend on ourselves. So often the circumstances of our lives make us feel weak and feeble and often anxious. And we can't fully depend on those around us either. However dear they might be, however much they love us, they're only human. They can't undo the past. They can't change the future. But Jesus, God in our world. God come to us. God with us. Jesus can do these things. Your God will come and save you, said the prophet Isaiah. God is for us. God values us. And he shows us his love by giving us his son. The miraculous baby grows into a remarkable man. A man whose life is marked by the most amazing events and the most profoundly deep words. A man who death cannot hold back. Jesus, the rescuer. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. We all live under the curse of death, and it grieves us. Every loss of a friend or a loved one, every painful reminder, and something deep, deep down inside us protests. It wants to shout about it and say that this shouldn't be so. Somehow we know this is not how it's meant to be. And that's why Jesus brings joy. Because where he walks, it's like streams flowing in a desert place. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak, the curse is undone. And the great sign that this is so is not found in a manger, but found on the cross. Potent symbol of death. Strange, isn't it? How can we be sure that this is the sign we need? Because death couldn't hold Jesus down. In his death, the curse is undone. And in his life, we find life. He comes to make his blessings flow to all of us, to me and to you. The last verse of the carol proclaims that he rules the world. Well, that's not the way it seemed the last time I looked at it. It seems all too often presidents, prime ministers, queens, and others like them seem to be in charge of at least big chunks of this world. And even when it comes down to an individual level, to you and to me, we're pretty good, aren't we, at taking care of our own little lives. We rule our own worlds. But the carol and the Bible speak of a different reality, of God at work, silently, ceaselessly, through all time, sending a special baby, living for others, dying for all, rising from death, inspiring women and men through all ages to live under his rule. Hey, so graphically illustrated for us this morning by Sam and Fiona, Eileen and Matthew and Rebecca. Above all powers is his power. Presently, God holds back, honoring our freedom to choose, not wanting anyone to miss out. He waits, biding his time, giving those of us who know the wonder of his rule the opportunity to share it with anyone who'll listen. Because he rules the world, he makes a way back to him, a way to life in all its fullness. Jesus, he himself becomes the way. Those of us who walk in the way aren't on it because of who we are or what we've done. It's just that one day, just like Sam and Fiona and Eileen and Matthew and Rebecca, we too heard the whisper of his love. We too realized that we didn't have to live alone and find our own way anymore. He himself bought us out of a way of living that was killing us. He paid the price of all our failures, of all our guilt, and all our selfishness. He showed us the love that he'd always had for us, to give us a hope, to give us his future. This Christmas, I'm sure we're all hoping for a joyful time, and I wish it for all of you from the very bottom of my heart, in your homes and families, and with your friends. But this Christmas, Jesus wants to give you the fullness of his joy. The fullness of his joy that comes through living in his love. This Christmas, my friends, means joy to Eileen. It means joy to Sam. It means joy to Matthew. Joy to Fiona. Joy to Rebecca. Joy to me. And it could mean joy for you. Because there is joy in the world through Jesus. Can I ask you, please, all, if you wouldn't mind, just to bow your heads now as we close and come to the end of our service this morning. We're going to sing again, and after that song, we're just going to close the service together, and you'll be invited to stay for coffee and tea. But just now, would you bow your heads and let me pray with you this morning. It's been an inspiring morning. We've seen many things that have moved our minds and our hearts. And if your heart is stirred by what you've seen this morning, if you've been inspired by the stories that have been shared, even now as your head is bowed and as you think through what you've seen and heard, if you've heard a whisper of God's love in the depths of your being, if a part of you longs for the joy that only Jesus can bring, I want to pray for you. Just a moment at this time, in this quiet, as we all keep our heads bowed, if this describes you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything more than that. Just put your hand up if you want to respond to what you've seen and heard this morning. If you want to say, yes, I want to know this joy that's in Jesus. Yes, I want to know, I know that God is speaking in the depths of my being, and I want to know more of what Eileen, what Fiona, what Rebecca, what Sam and Matthew know. Just as we have our heads bowed, if there's anyone who'd like me to pray with you, just put your hand up right now. Lord God, you who know the hearts of all present, make the joy you long to give through Jesus known to all those whose hands and hearts are raised to you. Oh God, show them the next step in their journey with you. And give them the courage to take it. Bring them close to your love. Lord, transform them in your love and guide them in all your truth, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen. Amen. Well, if you were one of those who raised your hand or prayed that prayer with me this morning, please tell someone you came with, or one of those who are baptized, or any of us who've been up here at the front this morning, because we'd be delighted to hear how God is at work in your life and to help you with the next steps if we can.